Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 11. All right, so this is a lot of fun. I was in New York a month ago doing stand-up at comics. And what's great about going to New York is that I get to see comics that I love that I don't ever get to see the rest of the year because they live there and I live in L.A. So this is a twofer. I crammed in two comics into one podcast right before one of the shows. So the first one will be Eugene Merman, who was amazing. And then after that, God's Pottery, who opened for me for the entire week. So you will hear a very subtle transition in between the two. And you'll get a twofer. So enjoy Eugene Merman and God's Pottery. Also want to say that May 11th in Los Angeles will be the second Nerdist Podcast Live. It's going to be an all-musical show with Paul and Storm and Mike Furman, who's half a hard and firm, and then also Tom Lennon of Reno 911, and a special guest, who I can't mention, but is mega awesome. So you can get details for that at Nerdist.com. So enough of my blabbing, and here's Nerdist Podcast number 11 with Eugene Merman, and then subsequently, God's Pottery.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Let's do it. So we're starting the... Probably get to the bathroom there.
Yeah, make sure you get a sound in the bathroom.
Matt Myra has just arrived. Matt Myra might have a harrowing tale of journeying.
I'm just going to Queens accidentally because I have my headphones on.
Does anyone go there on purpose? I don't even know the city. Point. I'm just making a regional joke.
Are we recording and eating?
Yeah, we just came fun. In.
Yeah.
We're in the green room at Comics doing a show tonight, and one of the guest sets is Eugene Merman, who I've been friends with for many years, and I adore, and you're one of my favorite comedians, Eugene Merman. And
Thank you.
I have your...
Chris Hardwick.
I listen to your... I'm not even a CD, your Digibum, your digital offering.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Fucking fantastic.
Thank you.
So, are you getting ready for something that you're doing a drop-in spot?
I'm just making a tape, like a 5-minute tape to audit, like you used to send to Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
And then whoever else puts comics on television. But I think it's just Kimmel.
It's not a lot. Hey, Matt, do you want to plug the headphones in just to make sure the mic sounds okay? Yeah, it's not, you know. There are those great days when, you know, every show, like you could, like comics could do the rounds on any show. And then now it just sort of feels like, there's not really a lot of comedy on the late night shows anymore. Like, you see it maybe once a week occasionally,
right.
But it's certainly not what it was.
Yeah. But luckily there's channels devoted to it entirely. So everything's fine.
Really just the one.
Yes. Well, USA.
CMT, right?
USA.
Yeah.
TBS. We know funny.
They do know funny.
I think... Is that what they know?
That's what they claim to know.
Yeah, but they claim to be very funny. I didn't know they actually.
I think for a while
they were doing it.
I think for a while part of it was, hey, we're a comedy telethon and we're calling up, and someone would be like, my dog just shit on my cake. Is that funny? And they'd be like, hang on, yep, that's funny.
And TNT they
have that
drama.
Weird thing.
Yeah.
TNT knows drama. USA welcomes characters.
USA characters welcome.
Characters welcome.
Yeah.
So especially minorities.
Yep. Any kind of crazy character.
Yeah.
To the television industry, minorities are by default characters.
They're goofballs.
In the television world, we're not saying that as part of our credo.
No.
But we're saying as far as TV is concerned.
We don't make TV, we just watch it.
We just consume it. We just consume racist
their
television.
Fault.
Some people consume racist television. We frown at it, but consume it at the same time. I would have thought I feel like you have a great following. People know who you are. I'm surprised that they make you send in a tape anymore. They're not just
I've never done the show.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know. No one. It's not like my hand is being forced. I'd like to do a thing, and I'm making a tape and sending it. Like it's not. It's not like how dare you?
Right.
I wrote jokes in my head, and I'll show you them when they're airing.
Are you finding it hard to whittle down a 5-minute set?
I don't know. We'll find out tonight. I mean, I think that what I have a lot of stuff that involves, like, little pieces of paper and stuff.
Yeah.
And I have some stuff that's just me talking. So I don't know if shows will put on someone being like, I brought these weird pieces of paper, but maybe.
Well, if you're submitting to Kimmel, he likes, I mean, we did Hard and Firm, we did a couple Hard and Firm sets on Kimmel, and he's, you know, he's had on people like Eddie Pepitone and Todd Glass, and he's let them do experimental stuff. The only problem, the thing that you can face with the Kimmel audience is that the immediate studio audience, and I apologize to anyone who's listened to this podcast who's been in the Kimmel studio audience, there's a lot of mouth breathers. Like, they kind of wander in off Hollywood Boulevard, right across from Hollywood and Highland, which is a big touristy complex, and where all those people dress up in superhero outfits and take pictures of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get into the studio, and it's just, there's lights, and a band, and famous people, and they just don't know where to focus. Like, it can be a little hard to focus that crowd. I mean, the first time we went on, we played our American Dinosaur song, and I think people cheered more every time they heard the word America than actually
dinosaurs.
That we were talking about dinosaurs. And then the second time, we did our Spanish Heart song, El Corazon, and they were just sort of like,
what?
Eh.
I mostly look forward to trying to kill in front of homeless people and tourists.
Yep. If you can get that crowd,
yeah, you get the right spot.
Then I can appeal to all of America.
Homeless word of mouth is where it starts, and there's a trickle down effect because,
you know, they catch the rails and they spread it throughout the country.
That's right. I mean, I find, you know, any crazy thing that you hear a homeless person say to themselves, they're just redoing a bit that they liked.
So exactly.
That's actually what you got to keep in mind.
That's how you know you've succeeded.
Yep.
When homeless people mumble the things you noticed about a mall.
Crazy pigeons. Fuck my eye holes. Oh, I think that was a Patton Oswalt bit. Yes. Oh, thank you, homeless guy.
I would love it if that's where it turned out he got all his tags. Patton, like, sits in the park writing shit down, being like, perfect, that's how I'll describe sex.
All right, I have an NPR chunk now. But I've often been envious of the New York comedians because you guys can actually go up multiple times a night for an audiences of people and, you know.
Right.
Like, if you go up more than a couple times a week in L.A., I feel like it's a goddamn victory.
Really? Is it that hard? Can't you just keep going before sketch troops at UCB?
There are rooms, but they don't, you know, like...
They don't have an audience.
No.
Or they have an audience, but it's... They're all...
It's just not... Yeah, I mean,
actors.
Just scattered and desolate.
LA, it's LA, hard to travel around.
L.A., you have to know where... You have to go up places on purpose. You don't just stumble into places like in New York, so it's... It's a little bit more of a challenge. So when you know, you come out here and you get to perform a couple shows in a night, and you're like, oh, right, it can be this way.
Right.
So.
Well, you're all invited to move here.
Yay! I'm sure the other comics will love that.
Yeah.
Especially, you get down to the Comedy Cellar, and which I've never performed at the Comedy Cellar.
I actually never have either.
And the one time I was going to ask, one of the regular Comedy Cellar performers was like, don't even fucking try. It's like... It's like a closed community here. You know, just kind of chest-butting, you know, but conversationally. And I was like, you know, that's not really the vibe that I want to, you know. So you come to a place like Comics, where we're at now, and it's just a really nice vibe. Like, the room is gorgeous, and the food is good, and the people seem nice, and...
Right, though I've heard that, in the stuff I've seen at the Cellar, that it's one of... I don't know, that it's, I guess pleasant is the wrong word to describe it, but where it's like a good, like, I've seen people try really weird stuff there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that it's sort of clicky and clubby and stuff, but in terms of, but you have a chance of genuinely seeing something good while probably at, like, another comedy club, you would see only terrible stuff. Like, meaning of that kind of thing where they put on, like, 8-10 comics in a night, that sort of, you know.
Well, that's L.A. comedy. You can't do, you know, you really can't do more than 15. Like, 15 is really kind of pushing it.
Right.
That's when you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the mat did fucking 15 minutes.
You believe that? I didn't see the light.
But, how's your following? I mean, like
they're so powerful.
I feel like there are Mermanites all over the place. Like, when I travel other places, when I go to other towns, and people come up and they'll talk to me about other comics they like, and your name always comes up.
You know, they exist. I think they can hide. I mean, for me, often, like, I'll come to a town to do a show, and then I'll run into people who are like, I didn't know you were doing a show in town. So that's always my problem, figuring out how to let the people who would have wanted to know.
Are you? How do you feel? Are you using social networking tools?
Oh my god, I sure am. I mean, and I keep texting people. I'll come to a city. I'll text all the numbers that I see all over the place. Yeah, no, I use them.
You need primarily rock clubs too, right?
Yeah, I mean, people come out. I mean, what I mean to say is...
No one sees you ever.
I perform to no one all over this great country.
Why do you...
And then when I walk out of the club, everyone's like, what are you doing in our city?
Yeah. I'm doing comedy. Oh, we'll do it now for free.
Yes.
No.
No, I have a sweet following. I have no idea. I love social media. I mean, I do like Twitter and stuff.
You were touring. Were you opening for Hodgman for a while?
No.
Were you performing with Hodgman?
I've certainly done a bunch.
Performing with Concords. I mean, like there was.
I toured with Concords.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did that in the Midwest. Then I did the LA show. But that was super fun. Those shows were great.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than Cake.
For comedy, yeah. I mean, better than touring in general. Although I tour with bands.
Cake the band or cake the food?
Band.
He opened up for just an awesome cake.
For a really delicious and like suckling pig. It was just
guys,
like,
I'm gonna get to your headline entree in a second, but
yeah.
Before I do,
I would love to tour opening for delicious.
I loved when I still worked at MTV and used to drink heavily. I got obnoxiously drunk with John McRae from Cake a couple times and super, super cool.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, when I go to San Francisco, I see him still. I toured with him a few years ago, but yeah, he's a great guy.
How did their fans take you?
It was Cake, Tegan and Sarah and Gogo Bordello and then me emceeing. And the way it would work is I could go up at the very beginning and do whatever and then like, and then Tegan and Sarah would play and then I could do like less before
five
them.
Lesbian
and then
jokes.
When it was time to go on before Cake, people were just chanting Cake.
Right.
So it was sort of impossible. Like, John was like, oh, you should do something before us. And then, like, you'd walk out, and I'd be like, how is it this? And then Cake, Cake, Cake. And I'd be like, all right, I'm going to just introduce Cake because it's pointless.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's people who are like, are listening, and there's people who aren't listening, and then there's people who are chanting a word.
Right.
And once they're at the chanting a word stage, it's too far gone to, like, talk about noticing things.
Yeah, I heard Bobcat Goldthwait tell a story about opening up for Nirvana, where he said it was, like, the most miserable thing. He'd go up, he'd try and say stuff, people would just yell and throw shit at him.
Yeah.
And, like, and nail him pretty hard, and then, like, he'd, like, try and say jokes, and he'd look on the side, and, like, Kurt Cobain would be cracking up. And like he'll get off. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I really bummed. And Kurt would be like, no, it's perfect. It's exactly why I wanted you here.
Right. I mean, it was
to throw shit.
The stuff I've done with bands has generally been pretty. Like Modest Mouse, I toured with them.
Oh, well, how was that? That was good.
Yeah. I mean, it was in smaller clubs in Florida, maybe like 5-6 years ago. But other than two shows, which were slightly terrible, everything actually was pretty good. But you really like. You know, you can only do a certain amount, unless I guess you're maybe very famous, potentially, but still.
Right.
Even that, like, really, there's only so much that people who came to see music are willing to hear someone talk.
It's a different kind of paying attention, you know? It's like, when you're seeing a band, you'll pay attention, but you can still talk to your friend every once in a while the band's playing. But it's like, and that's the kind of, like, attitude you take going to the show, but then when there's comedy, it's like, and you gotta be quiet.
Or you have to be very captivating as a comic for a brief amount of time.
Well, and it's interesting to see who, like, who has cool fans and who has just kind of like, like aggressive shitty fans. Like I have some friends who opened for Tenacious D,
right?
And they said it was super rough,
right?
Because you know
Neil Hamburger did, amongst others,
and I guess it was just. They only wanted to see Tenacious D, and there was they did not want to be bothered with anyone else, even though you would think, oh, Tenacious D, like, fart. They have fart fans. They have the fartest fans.
You would think that farty fans would really like stand-up comedy. I mean, I try to do that. I mean, though I still tour, like, theaters and music places a lot more than comedy clubs. In fact, comics is one of the few clubs that I sort of do regularly. you know, I don't do it as much with bands. I mostly do it with other comics, like comedians of comedy, or like, you know, touring with. I toured with Showalter a lot.
Oh yeah, you were you did the cool drop-ins for comedians of comedy. For what were those tours like?
Those were really fun. I mean, music venues in general are sort of more fun than comedy club venues, because everyone coming to see you there is coming on purpose. Like, nobody goes, like, I wonder what the comedy is at this music club, unless you know it's there.
Yeah. Right.
So you end up getting people who are genuinely very into comedy, into a specific style of comedy. You know, I mean, that's, you know, the problem sometimes with comedy clubs, where they are, you know, trying to appeal to a lowest common denominator.
Not Comics New York, of course, which is... creme de la creme.
Right. But I've already said that comics is pretty good. I think we know that.
We've given enough.
I've even said the Cellar is pleasant, but have I said New York Comedy Club is good? I don't think I have done that.
No.
It's interfering.
Oh, it is a little bit?
No.
I should have gone into airplane mode.
No, it's not.
I have a phone in my pocket, and my leg is made of radio waves. Is that interfering?
It's awkward.
Did you hear that from a homeless person? Are you seeing what happened, Zach?
I'm still.
What was I going to ask? I had a great point that I really wanted to launch into about your touring or... Ah, fuck it, we can talk about something else. But you were you were great on the John Oliver show.
And that was really fun.
It's very... I don't think people realize it is very difficult to shoot comedy... and have it come off well. It's a very difficult thing to capture, and they did such an amazing job.
They did actually a good job, and it's funny, they, like, edited and switched things around a little bit, but they actually did a great job. My greatest fear with the, like, half-hour special was... because sometimes they'll cut it at random, or, like, sometimes they'll be like, okay, we'll keep this, and then remove a tag or setup or whatever.
Yeah,
and they didn't do that at all, and with John Oliver's also, like, it was great. But it is very hard, and you're always nervous... they'll certainly show people laughing, but the people at home will be like, why are they laughing? This didn't make sense.
Well, what's funny is what I notice on a lot of comedy specials, and this was not the case for John Oliver, but they'll cut to an audience member who is expressionless. And I would be like, why would you do that? I mean, I'm sure they needed an edit point, but to just cut to a... like, you couldn't get some B-roll of some fucking guy laughing and then cut to that?
There was in my Live at Gotham appearance, they cut to a guy that was laughing. And, like, you know, I'm not saying that it wasn't funny, but he was laughing too hard at what I just said, and I didn't believe it.
Well, it's probably because they use random... it's not like... they use random laughs. Like, they take a laugh from a killer joke to
put
on your...
from another comic
special. Tell you, like, act like it's going well regardless, because we can always sweeten it.
Right.
You know? And they'll also say, like, oh, you can redo a joke. But the truth is, the idea of coming back out to, like, say a joke you already told again...
right.
It's... nothing could feel more false. It already is false to pretend you're having a one-way conversation that's all funny.
Yeah,
right.
Let alone to do it twice in a row. Yeah.
When we
Matt Bronger, his power went out during his Live at Gotham appearance, and then so he had to restart his set because it glitched, like, whatever he had already taped. And then it happened again.
That's how off the hook he is. He fucking
just blows everything.
Weirdly, that didn't happen to Sinbad when he taped his outside in the wind.
when we did the Hard and Firm half hour, the other comic who was shooting his half hour at the same time, he went short, and so they made him come out and do like another 8 minutes.
Oh my god!
He only did like 22 minutes.
Oh, the actual amount.
Yeah, he did like 22 minutes, and they're like, "You got to go back out and do like, you know, like 8 more minutes." So we had to come back out.
Did he have like he had 8 more minutes of stuff he wanted to do?
Yeah, I think he just kind of was wrapped. I don't know if he was nervous. I don't know what happened. He just wrapped it up early to the point where he was like, "All right, thank you, good night." And everyone was like, "What the fuck is he? Why is he not still telling jokes out there?" Because they're very thorough. Like, they make sure you have the time, and you have to, you know, to sit down with lawyers and go over your set and actually say to a panel of adults.
Yeah, I had an awesome... Go on.
Is this like you saying something filthy and you have to say it very seriously to like a bunch of adults where you go, can I say gayer than come on a mustache? And then, you know, you have a lawyer say... yes, you know, we'll probably bleep out cum, like, but it's very factual.
I had this thing where I had a line, and it was, ready your brain mouth for my mind penis, and they were like, how many words are between mouth and penis?
Wow.
And then they called, like, there were 12, like, 10, 12 people in front of me, and they called someone higher up to go, like, or a lawyer, or whoever it was, but literally, like, they couldn't decide, and they were like, we have to take this to the next level, and called someone, and they were like, we'll have to beep penis, so now as a result in my special, it seems actually like I said cock,
yeah,
and not
way
penis,
worse.
Because...
Yeah.
Why would you? Because at home you'd be like, well, it's not like you'd ever beep the word penis. You right. must be beeping something much worse.
Yeah, they told me that I had the word glory hole in my set on Comedy Central, and they said, well, we're going to have to beep out glory. And I said, well, that means everyone will think I've said asshole, and it won't make sense. It'll be a completely different joke. And so I said, well, can I say hole of glory? And they're like, no, that's fine.
So it's so weird. You know, standards and practices, there's no, like, hard and fast rules.
No.
And technically, cable does not fall under the same rules of the network. FCC. They just do it willingly for their advertisers. But it's funny that it really just depends on the mood. You know, like on Web Soup, I will go in and have these very serious discussions with the standards and practices people. Like, can I say... tight pussy hole if there's a picture of a cat squeezing through a dog door, and they're like, well, if you, yeah, same with you, John, if you space out pussy and hole, you know, and yeah. It's just these insane.
And you say, and you mean space out with other words, or you mean pause and go like pussy hole? Like, you mean that? Because
don't go up on the last
you
syllable
can't, you
because
can't.
That's too rapey. It sounds rapey to say it that way.
I do like that there will be intonation, like,
yeah.
that's part of it.
Don't smile and show your teeth when you say it. But I think it's funny that someone will go home at the end of their workday and be like, yeah, I fielded a lot of dick calls today for my television job.
That actually is... The idea that all day long people are like calling you and being like, okay, can I say I'm gonna shit in your mouth? No. Okay, well, can I? What if I said I'm gonna shit near your mouth, like on your stuff?
Near.
Just give up. No, we gotta work on
it. It's not the
this.
Preposition or the location that we're worried about.
It's not. Yeah, it's where.
It's exactly. It's mouth shitting. Gay. Okay, so I can shit on someone's knee. Yeah, that's not a thing people normally do.
Yeah.
So you can do an effective amount of knee shitting. Do your parents are Russian?
Yeah, we all are. I mean, not all of us, like you guys, but meaning me and
my parents.
That's
not how it works. God, Russians think everyone's Russian.
Yeah, the second you are born Russian,
all of us are together in this journey.
It's like radioactivity, where just me being in an area.
Am I 30% more Russian?
Yeah.
If someone came in
because
with a guy
I irradiated you with my.
And you'd see the needle go up and you'd hear
leftover general radiation.
Exactly.
Do your parents understand? I've never heard you talk about your parents. Do they understand what you do? Do they get your humor? Do they.
Yeah, I mean, they don't.
How Russian are they?
They're so Russian.
Because you were born in Russia.
Yeah, I was. And then came here with just a bunch of blinis and...
Uh-huh. And a dream in your heart.
A dream. Some caviar and a dream. Yeah, they understand it. I mean, you know, they... I mean, we've been here for like 30-something years.
Uh-huh.
And by 30-something, I think I mean
the
exactly 30.
Oh.
You know, so... It's not like they watch tons of comedy,
right.
Like stand-up, but they speak English and get it. And
Do you speak Russian?
Yeah, I do. I speak Russian to them.
Have you ever performed in Russia?
No, but one thing I'd like to do, in case anyone wealthy is listening, is do a documentary of going back to Russia for the first time.
Well, I hear that in Russia, comedy performs you. Is that true?
I think performs is a strong word, but yeah, it's definitely a threat.
I'm interested to hear about this. So what are the sort of social dynamics for comedy
in Russia?
Yeah.
You know, I've watched some Russian stand-up on TV, mm-hmm. or not on TV, on the internet.
Right.
And, it's funny, it's like, well, in a sense, because it's not like they've had stand-up like we did for as long, so some of it is, you know, one-man showy, some of it is just, I guess, the sketch, like, sort of sketchy or weird, like, some of it is crazy, and then some of it is very, like, hokey, mm-hmm. where, you know, we're just like, it's people inventing stand-up as they're doing it. One of the funniest things, though, I saw was someone doing what essentially was pretty normalish stand-up. And then it was on TV, and I saw it on the internet. But they kept cutting to the wings, where there were people in weird costumes watching and laughing. And you know the way that here you cut to the audience... In this, they periodically cut to the wings, but people would change, so you'd all of a sudden see, like, a guy in a bunny suit laughing, and then they'd cut away, and then they'd cut to someone with, like, a monocle in a tuxedo. And these people were just hanging out. It wasn't, like, it wasn't meant to be funny. It wasn't part of the joke.
Right.
It was just, like, they were showing, like, people hanging out and, like, the performers watch each other. Like, it was that tone. Wow. But as a result, it was so funny. Because they would also show the regular audience and show the stand-up. But I don't really know. I mean, part of it would be that if I went there, I would explore what comedy is like there. You know, it certainly probably isn't... Like, you probably couldn't have nearly the kind of political comedy we have because right. you'd be murdered.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it, you're allowed to be as homophobic as you want from a gathered.
No, that's good. Yeah.
It's like Eddie Murphy's Raw.
So that's good.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They're just inventing Eddie Murphy Raw.
He's just getting over there. It's a fucking, it's like Deadwood of comedy over in Russia. Like, now's the time to get over there and start
Exactly. The money that could be made from me doing. But I've never performed in Russian, though I would, I think, if I went there do it.
Do you know how faggots like to touch men's penises where they pee? Good night to you!
Sorry, by the way, I apologize for doing a Russian accent in front of you. That was probably very rude.
How good was it, though? You know, on a scale of 10.
Right.
On a scale that allows for no other numbers.
It's 10 to 10.
It is a 10, which I won't say how good or bad it is. The scale is 10 only.
At the same time, the best and the worst.
Exactly. See how sneaky I am?
It's a single-digit scale.
Exactly. Brilliant. Brilliant.
For effort. What's sort of your process? I mean, like, do you have a specific process, or is it just, like, do you sit down to write, or do you just...
I do... I mean, I sort of do a variety of things. I'll sit down to write. I'll go someplace, like to a cafe or something, or walk around. Or, you know, I think I try a variety of things. I wrote a book, and when I did that, I'd often, which I wouldn't do for stand-up, like I'd go like to some place, like, you know, I went to like Seattle for a week, or I wrote somewhere. Like, I'd go up to Amherst, Mass a lot and write there.
Why Amherst, Mass?
He's from Boston, so he knows he's a Mass.
I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you. At the time, my girlfriend lived there. So I would go, but I would like go and stay for like a week, you know, as opposed to...
It's pretty boring there.
Well, not if you have to write a book. I guess it is if you want to stay up till 4 partying, but it isn't if what you'd like to do is hang out with your girlfriend and write a book.
That's right.
Then it's all
right,
perfect.
Fair enough, okay.
I also went to school there. I went to Hampshire College.
Oh, did you? Okay.
So I like it there, even though I agree it can be dull.
My experience with a Russian, to be fair, he was a Russian open mic comic. But when I was in college, I was in this stand-up comedy club where we'd meet once a week and help each other flesh out material, and then, you know, a couple times a year we'd perform in the dorms. And there was this one guy started coming to meetings. I don't even know if he was a student at UCLA, but he was in his 50s, and I feel like his name was Dimitri, and it was not Dimitri Martin. And no one could ever understand anything he was saying, but he would end all of his jokes with the word pussy. Like, that was the punch where he'd go, and over here, this guy's coming up to me, and I like, that's where the pussy! And he really hit that word hard.
Would it work?
We thought it was hilarious, maybe not for the intended reason, but
it was
gorgeous.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then he stopped coming. I don't know if he's still...
Do you think he still does stand-up?
I think, yes, he's the pussy comic. he could be huge, huge in Russia right now.
Huge pussy comic.
Huge pussy comic.
Yeah.
Which is different than having a huge pussy and being a comic.
That is totally different.
It's stylistically different. So what are you going to do for the show tonight? You're just doing
just
a five-minute set,
stand-up.
Which I'm sorry, you're just doing stand-up?
No, that's all... I mean, it's not like, let me do an hour.
I mean, are you reading letters, or are you...
I'm going to tell a few jokes, like a few jokey jokes, and then I'm going to show a little pamphlet that I received while I was walking down the street, and then I will do something involving little notes on napkins.
Excellent. So, before I hijacked your writing story with Pussy Comic, we're talking a little about your process, so, you know, like, what... When you're writing stand-up, you do sit down to write stand-up.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, I'll sit down to write it, and then often I'll, like, go for a walk or something and think about it and mumble to myself, and then I'll write down what I've mumbled. And then, you know, I try a variety of things. I think, like, I sometimes, like, doing only one thing, I feel stagnant, so I think I do a variety of stuff to write.
Yeah, and your act reflects that, because you do a variety of stuff in your performance.
Yeah.
And do you feel like... You're kind of getting to a point where you're going to shows and people are requesting stuff, or like...
No, you know, I will say that... No, I don't think... Rarely. Or people don't really request stuff. Though I always find that funny. I mean, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Why you would request a thing, but it's also like, it's a joke you've heard.
Right.
Like, I feel self-conscious about doing stuff I think the audience has heard.
Right.
But yes, I mean, on a rare occasion, people request stuff, but not really.
I mean, it's amazing. Like, you do all... You literally are, like, when I think about you and your comedy, I think, like, oh, he's not afraid to do any kind of anything to get across...
Right.
You know, a funny idea.
Well, when I was in Amherst, a place some find dull, others adore.
P.S.
Which is on the billboard.
Matt Myra loves Dave Matthews Band. So, you know what? You can use that on a scale.
All right. Well, let's...
scale of shit.
Two on the nose, Joan. I'm going to have to give you a penalty, but two on the nose.
I don't want Dave Matthews listening to the most popular podcast and accidentally getting his feelings hurt, so I'm not going to talk about that.
But he might write a killer song about it.
He might.
A good hurt feeling song that'll
crash.
Turn into a four-hour jam.
And lyrically, it'll be terrible, but musically, it's fantastic.
But yeah, no, the violin will be good. when I was at Hampshire and did a show in the basement of my dorm, and there were no comics but me, and then, like, sometimes people who'd come from Boston that I'd met, mm-hmm. I would try to just get random people who I thought were funny to, like, tell a story or do improv or whatever it was. And sort of in the thing that came out of that ethos was anything that I did that, like, worked as a comedy thing and made an audience laugh was mm-hmm. fine. You know, whether it was stand-up or whether it was reading a letter or a fake diary or whatever it was. You know, so sort of from that, and then afterwards when I moved to Boston and did comedy there, it's still reflected in my act, where basically as long as it works, like as long as it's funny, it's fine to do. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, I think, the stereotype of alternative comedy is like someone coming up with like a flute and making some noises and being like, you don't get me, this is existentialism.
like daring the audience to laugh at
it.
I dare you to laugh at this.
And that isn't, like, to me, it's just simply you're doing different stuff in alternative spaces.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and but it's funny. Like, it's still comedy. It's not like it's obscure, like, references in art. Or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's meant to be comedy. It's meant to be funny. So I think as long as people laugh, then it's fine.
Well, I mean,
Hey, everybody, we are 10 minutes till show. That's 10 minutes till show. Thanks, guys.
We're going to push it 5 minutes.
I love that. That's part of the ambiance right there.
Yeah.
I'm out of here in 10 minutes.
People on speakerphone. Jonah's out of there in 10 minutes. All right, well, so we probably need to wrap this up in a second so the show can start and we're not loudly talking back here during Jonah's set, but I assume EugeneMerman.com, is there another site, or do you have a side blog?
Just EugeneMerman.com, where I do have a blog, and I have Twitter feeds.
Do you still have the baby picture singing?
I do, you can still click on it. I have, like, a blog, but also the baby picture is still there.
Okay, and then at Eugene Merman on Twitter?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're friends, and it makes me happy to, like, watch people that I've known for a long time, like, really start, you know, like, getting recognition and, mm-hmm. and having people, because then I always feel like, yes, this is exactly what I have known, you know, and it's
right.
nice, it's Thanks. Nice, A, that I'm not an idiot, selfishly, and B, that that other people are getting to share in that experience, too. So thank you for being here,
thank
Eugene
you very
Merman.
Much for having me.
Eugene Merman's on Twitter, at Eugene Merman. Probably
Follow
also on Facebook.
Me. Yes,
you
I
have
am
LinkedIn?
On Facebook.
Are you LinkedIn?
I am actually on LinkedIn.
I get so many LinkedIn invitations. I'm like, no, I'm not.
I'm afraid of it.
I am afraid
oh, really?
Of it, too.
Well, how else are you going to recommend a graphic designer?
That's true.
How else will you find the right programmer for your...
We'll start hitting you up for LinkedIn
whatever.
Contact.
Oh, my God.
Can you help me out here? I need data entry.
To get a bunch of weird business people.
I need a Pakistani app developer.
I need an HR person.
You need HR.
I actually do need an HR. Yeah. I need to fire people in the audience gently.
So it's not working out right now. You and Eugene are not on the same page. We're going to go in another direction.
Yeah. All right. Well, good night. I love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So, we also, we noticed in the room, two chipper, very happy.
Yes. These guys are delightful.
Youths.
Yeah. Peppy, I would say.
Peppier than normal.
Yeah.
Extra peppy. Little,
What's your guys' secret? Why are you so happy?
Oh, boy. We take a drug called Sunshine in the morning, and, And the moon at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, you're
we came ready to play, Chris. We're always ready. Put me in, coach.
You know what I'm saying? You're trying to. I think what happened was they heard the Tom Lennon slide whistle episode.
Oh, yes. Very popular. Like, yes.
We love slide
whistle.
We whistles.
Do love the slide
really,
whistle.
It's a really fun way to you know, make friends when you're out at you know, an auto show or you know, a any sort of.
An auto show is real popular with the slide whistle.
Slide whistle show. Slide whistle show. Yeah. I'm also going to say just a fun way to whistle. You can do it with your face.
I'm Gideon Lamb. Hello. Lamb.
Hello. Is this right here? Yes. My name is Jeremiah Smallchild.
I don't think you don't have to get that close to it, Jeremiah. Okay. This is God's Pottery.
Hello. Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, America.
Hello, downloaders.
Hello, a group of a couple of Christian youths that we saw. They were playing some songs outside, and we said, hey, you guys should come in. And
it was so nice of you.
And, you know, like, and be a part of the podcast.
Thank you.
We're really thrilled to be a part of it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're pretty jazzed. It's like the radio from space.
It is like space radio. Yeah. It's like space radio, but it's not live, so no one can actually hear you right now. Okay. I mean, they can when they hear this.
Okay.
But I mean, right now, this is not being piped out live.
Slow down, Professor.
I'm sorry. No, I get a little ahead of myself. I like the nerdy stuff, but so, you know, like, we have just a little bit of backstory on you guys. Like, what are you?
You know what? We are old friends. We are from the Midwest.
I've been to there.
Sure. Yeah.
Great.
And you know, we were friends for life, really. We both went to Christ Our Leader College.
Mm-hmm.
I majored in non-contact sports.
Mm-hmm.
And
I majored in Christian practicality in the everyday, every day.
Yeah. And just our love of singing and strumming. And
where is Christ Our Leader College?
It's in the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You've probably played there. You guys have probably played it.
Probably not unlike Yorktown, USA.
I've never been there.
Are you guys a couple? Or are you together?
We're a couple of fun guys.
We're a couple of laughs, smilers.
He's asking whether about our homosexualness.
Frequent misconception.
No, we are not.
No, sir.
We are not in that way. What we are two bachelors who just love women. And
your T-shirt does say virginity rocks.
Well, it does, and I do subscribe to that belief.
Those are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, look, we love. Women, we love the idea of being with a woman abstractly. And, you know, we love women so much that we are not willing to settle, you know?
That's right.
We are waiting for Mrs. and Mrs. Wright. And if that means that we have to just keep living together in our one bedroom with the bunk beds and the cereal every morning, then that's just the way it's going to be. Yeah.
What kind of cereal do you enjoy?
Oh, Raisin Bran. Well, we make it.
We make a lot of our own cereal. Yeah, out of twigs and acorns and stuff that we find.
So the Lord provides you with cereal meat.
And we like to use goat's milk as well. So
okay.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. Isn't the goat an evil animal, though?
In the wrong hands, it can be. Yeah. But that can be said about anything,
but
even Jell-O or whatever.
When you use the goat's milk, you are making the goat be giving. We're getting it involved in that dynamic of you know, Christian giving.
Do you remember the end of Star Wars when Darth Vader when he took off the robot hat and he became Anakin Skywalker?
Do you remember that?
There's good.
I think that might have been the end of Jedi, Return of the Jedi. I remember
that's
that
what
part.
I mean. The Star Wars.
Well, we watch all three straight through.
Oh,
so that's what he means.
So there's good in everything, even if there's a bad, misbehaving goat. Maybe take off the robot head.
Maybe take off the robot head and enjoy some of that satanic tit milk. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring the mood down.
The internet's open to anybody, I guess.
I notice you have a book there.
We're very proud of this book we wrote recently. It's called What Would God's Pottery Do?
The subtitle, The Ultimate Guide to Surviving Your Teens and or Being Successful.
Yeah. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. Yeah. There are a lot of exclamation points in this book.
I'll bet.
Your faces look like exclamation points.
Thank you.
Actually,
this is a compliment.
No, you're actually wearing the same outfits that you're wearing on the cover as well.
Yeah, it's kind of our go-to uniform. Wear it pretty much all around town. We do have different outfits. We've got sleepwear like to wear.
Yeah,
Jeremiah had a lovely woman made him sleepwear in the style of his tricolored shirt. So
yeah.
Great.
We have photos of that in the book, actually.
You guys wear sandals. Is that a nod to
the big man? That's right. Yeah, J-Dog.
Well, you know, it started as a nod to the big man, and then I discovered that everyone should use the big toe loop. I mean, it's just such a great way to control your sandal. Jeremiah goes,
for me, I like the socks because, you know, you step outside in the autumn, you know,
and those socks keep you warm.
Do you not get cold wearing short khaki shorts and sandals?
No, I run
literally
very
like
hot.
30 degrees
My
outside
body
in New York.
Runs very, very hot.
Okay.
And I've just always, it's the way he made me. So
you're constantly running a fever.
You might be sick.
I don't know. I don't know. I get sort of flushed, and sometimes I see... Well, you know what happened? When I was a child, this is actually when I discovered Christ.
Okay.
I tried to fly, as a lot of kids did after they saw the Superman movie, and I fell out a window, and I landed on my head. And it was right after I landed on the back of my head that I started having these visions of Jesus.
You know, similarly, that's how time travel was invented.
Yeah, did you see a flux capacitor? Right?
Well,
were you trying to hang a clock when you were flying?
You slipped on the basin. No, slipped on the toilet. Hit
when
head
he came to, I came up with this.
Doc Hollywood.
Yep. That's a Michael Fox movie.
That was Michael Fox's
Michael
Doc Hollywood.
Before he began with his disease.
Now
he's so brave.
Before he began.
He really is.
Yeah.
I don't think he took that on like a role. I think that may have just happened.
Well, he would make a great person with that disease, though, in a movie, even. I guess
Sure. Who would play it better than Mike Fox?
I couldn't help but notice that you have... A guitar?
Sure.
A left-handed guitar, actually.
Yeah, left-handed. It's a little... It's a sore spot for me. Left-hand is the sinister hand. Yeah.
Do you feel like that God has challenged you?
Yeah, he has. Jeremiah is trying to get me to learn righty, but I'm really not good at it. And there's a lot of scolding that goes on in our lessons.
I'd like to let him know that he was just born a little bit wrong.
Well, okay. You know, I'm trying my best. Someone's at the door. Oh. Sorry, recording a podcast in here. Yeah.
Hello. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Well, you know it's live entertainment here.
Sure.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, someone got a comic
so
hat.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. John,
you guys,
from comics.
Great. This is what you get when you start performing in comedy clubs. You get hats with comedy club names
on. Make sure to tie part of that. Would
I actually have to cut a piece of this off?
I would say cut off the back flap right there.
Well, the back flap is how I size it to my head. Mm, so I'm supposed to donate a good sizing to the Lord?
It's a donation to a greater cause. So.
All right. Well, I'll tear this off and give this to... Now, how do I know I'm giving it to the Lord? Who do I just throw it in the air?
Oh, just drop it in any
drop
church.
Drop it in a plate.
Yeah.
Sure. Drop torn clothing in a church and be like, here's
try
your...
Try to avoid the Catholic churches, but any church.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
All right. Well, I mean, I went to Catholic school, but I'm comfortable
with
that.
Well, that's wonderful.
Good. That's a good start.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's a good start.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I would love... would you play a song?
We would love to. We'd like to play a few songs because we do primarily sing about the issues.
Mm-hmm,
we are a youth-oriented outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three songs that we don't get to play a lot.
Sure.
We thought we'd give them a shot.
And you know
today.
What?
Please.
The youth of today, they're into little bite-sized nuggets. You know, their attention spans are a little short.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to accommodate, you know, to their taste while still giving them a message. It's sort of, you know, a little bit of sugar in the medicine.
Yeah, well, please. What is this?
Egg and milkshake.
What is this song called?
Well, this first one is for all of our friends, our Latin American friends.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, they're good people. They I think Mexicans
proud
are the
people.
Leading exporters of smiles. And this is
they
song.
Put the ICANN in Mexican.
Oh, and God, that's good. These days, they're the leading importers of smiles, like the way they sneak it in here. It's just...
I don't know.
All right.
We love America and they do too.
This is a song we wrote to all of them and it's called Congratulatinos.
Okay.
Here we go. And
ay Jesús, tú soy mi amigo. Tú soy un amigo del mundo. We need you more than ever.
So
there we go.
That was the whole song.
Yeah. These are all really
just
short songs.
Short but sweet.
It just said...
Ay, Jesús.
It's
in Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I get the other language.
It's in Latino.
So basically you're saying, Jesus, you're my friend?
Yep. Yes,
you're a friend of the world, and we need you more than ever because there's a lot of trouble.
That part was in English, if that sounds familiar.
But we say it with we need you more than ever.
We say it with their...
Oh, you roll your tongue to make it more...
Pizzazz.
Yeah. To make it more authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we another one here. Girls, women, girls and women.
Yeah.
We really support them in their cause. And
what is that cause? Would you say?
Well, just getting what they deserve.
You know, it kind of goes back to original Adam and Eve. You know, and Eve took the first risk and kind of messed things up a little bit.
So you feel like ever since then, it's all like a lot of stuff. It's just women's fault.
They've had a lot of people have blamed them for more than they're responsible for.
That's right. And we actually wrote this song to let them know that they're okay. And in fact, the title of the song is "Women Are People Too."
Oh, good. Well, they'll be thrilled to know that.
Here we go.
And
we know it.
it's been tough out there, just trying to get by. You made strides in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And no matter how many college degrees or careers you have, you will always be my pretty lady.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that is. Because it's just, you know, whatever they achieve or don't achieve, boy, they're pretty to look at.
Keep on trying, because you're always going to be pretty.
That's really nice.
That's a really Swedish message.
What a nice nod to the glass ceiling, you know?
Yeah.
Now, do you find that when you guys perform that women are, you know, do you have groupies?
Sometimes,
we have had some difficult situations. Let's have a diet soda, let's have a second diet soda.
Sure, and then let's have a second or third hug, and it's like, hey, hugging's good, but you've got to be careful, because, you know, sometimes it's
a gateway hug,
and you're, you know, and then you get into something else.
It stops being a hug.
Have you guys ever heard of the Christian side hug? It's like you just hug, like, you know, next to somebody.
So your genitals,
just the one arm, so your genitals don't face each other.
You kind of steer them out like a rudder.
Yeah,
it's a Christian side hug.
That's a good idea.
I like that. Yeah.
That's for you guys. Take that back.
Can we? That could have gotten us out of some
get it to the Midwest
situations.
Yes, indeed.
And also, it could be a new way for you guys to, you know, hug each other in your own lives.
Well, that would be wonderful. Mix it up a little.
No friction.
Sure.
We're always looking for new ways to hug each other.
Is it not okay? Is it not okay to masturbate or anything?
It is not. Not okay.
We don't have time to do that song.
Slam dunk on that one. Yeah. What are you, Michael Jordan? Shoots, he scores.
We're not going to do it now, but we do have a song called The Beast with One Back that's all about the difficult issue of masturbation. And
so if people wanted to hear that song, where would they go?
Godspottery.com is where it's a good repository for all our stuff and
your messages.
Yeah, and we're on Twitter and
Twitter. Good.
Godspottery is the handle. And you know, we try to just, you know, comment on the issues of today and pay homage to those who have passed.
Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook, so if you want to just hang out online, check out some snaps, some photos.
How do you guys feel about poking on Facebook?
The Facebook poking.
It's a slippery slope. That's the problem we have. It's you start with one poke and then you got a super poke. We are poke buddies. Let's be clear about that. Jeremiah and Gideon are definitely poke buddies.
Sure.
It's just a function on Facebook.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Wonderful.
Well, I think you have one more song that.
We just wanted to do one more.
It's a cover, actually.
We don't do only originals, and in fact, there's a lot of material out there that isn't that cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a lot in the Christian canon, a lot of old carols, Christmas carols, and the like, that are just beautiful songs. But the kids today, it's a little old for them.
Yeah. Right.
So what we like to do
is hear some of those Christmas carols, and it becomes a snooze fest.
Yeah.
So we say, hey, let's wake it up. Let's wake it up a little bit.
So what we do is we take the song. And we put cool new lyrics to it
to
make it sort of hip for the kids.
Yeah.
So this is like a
Christian Weird Al kind of a thing.
Our work is more serious.
Not weird. It's more like
Christian Al.
Important
Yankovic.
Al. I'd say Important Al.
Okay. Yeah. Important Al Yankovic.
And this one is, if you all are familiar with the song "Away in a Manger," which you should be.
We
re-lyricized
it. Cooler version of it. Imagine if Jesus was a pretty cool fellow.
Yeah. Check it out.
He is.
No, but in modern times.
But imagine
like a goatee. And a ponytail.
Well, just
what? Extra Jesus.
Exactly. Here we go. And away in a rock club that's packed to the max, the awesome Lord Jesus strapped on his sweet axe. The girls in the crowd all swooned while he played. The awesome Lord Jesus would surely get lots of new friends that night.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about.
Friends.
Going to the club and getting lots of new friends.
And maybe side hugging somebody.
Yeah. Now, that was dangerously close to rock and roll, I think.
Well, you know, we do like to live on the edge a bit. We like to rock out, not too hard, but...
We grew up on some tough stuff, you know, Simply Red and Loggins and Messina, so we're no strangers to...
This is a hip-hop song. What do you think about, current hip-hop and rap groups.
We support urban music.
We do, and urban people.
We absolutely support urban people
and
urban music.
Well, urban people? What do you mean urban people?
Oh, just people who live in the cities.
People are very urban, you can tell.
It's an urban...
I mean, we're technically in a city, so we're all urban.
Well, sure. It's a fine line.
When you go uptown, like into Harlem, they get a little more urban.
You mean black people?
Well, no, not just... Look, let's be clear. We have many black friends.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. The Reverend Wesley Treecrotch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just a wonderful man. Sure. Runs the congregation uptown in Harlem.
Wears a bright blue suit.
Just a powerful, strong man.
He's got a great
baritone voice. Just fills up the room. I think he played football in high school.
He's a
big fellow.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get on his bad side.
And a friend of ours.
He's a black man.
And his blackness is not a big deal. So.
It's well. That's generous. Yeah. That's very generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you guys.
We don't see color except for rainbows.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
If we see one color, we see them all. That's good too.
You're a fan of rainbows.
We sure are. We get high on rainbows.
Do you feel weird that the homosexual culture has co-opted the rainbow?
You know what? It's okay. There's enough to go around.
Yeah, there are plenty. There are always new rainbows being made.
Well, so you wouldn't just share the rainbow? Because that's more of a spirit of...
No. We would like to share it.
Rainbows are free. I think they're enough for everybody.
Yeah. Can you share something free? I mean, that's the question.
Mm.
Yes, I think is the answer.
We always try to.
We do. We do try to.
Well, this has been delightful, and I'm so glad I asked you guys to come in, and, you know, we get to help spread your message. And
thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
Well, you weirdly touched my leg there.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to be weird. When we make friends, we like to grab them a little.
And now there's grabbing and shaking. And honestly, the tip of your finger got really high on my leg that time.
I'm just kidding, Chris. It's just a foot. Yeah, we just make up games. How high can I grab your thigh?
Oh, you know, that's a good fun
weird game. I don't know if
you play
that together?
Is there tickle fighting?
Oh, sure. We like to play Who Can Stand the Closest.
Yeah. We often play a game called Who Loves Jesus More?
Yeah.
Which can get
a little heated.
I usually win, but
people should pick up your book, What Would God's Pottery Do? By Gideon Lamb and Jeremiah Smallchild, The Ultimate Guide to Surviving Your Teens and or Being Successful.
That's
maybe
right.
Both.
Which
maybe
is available in bookstores and I imagine on Amazon.
Everywhere
fine books are sold.
It's available virtually everywhere and everywhere virtual.
Oh boy,
here we go.
As you you know, any just a final message for the teens out there before we let you go?
You know, we got a show coming up here, come and see us or just hang out. Just keep downloading and having fun and just believe it.
And every time you smile, a boy with no feet can run a mile.
That's a gorgeous way to end the show.
I think so.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I hope we can give feetless boys smile running.
Thank you very much.
The end.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.